Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And I can only assume that you've seen Toy Story 4.
I have indeed. I don't mean to bury the lead, but...
You have.
I have.
And first of all, was it spectacular? Was it a great... Well, it's not just a sequel. Was it a great follow-up to all the others?
I really had a difficult time believing that they were going to maintain the quality. And I don't mean like a difficult time, but those three movies are just really like, I don't think there's a weak link in them. Like, whereas in you've got like, say, the Indiana Jones trilogy, and a lot of people will point to either like, you know, before Crystal Skull came along, everybody would always say, well, Temple of Doom is the weak link.
Mm-hmm.
Or like in the Back to the Future trilogy, a lot of people say that like they didn't enjoy the third one as much. Like I have a really difficult time just going, there's no way they go for a fourth film and it's as good as the first three, because they wrap that thing up in the perfect bow at the end mm-hmm. of the third one. And when they announced the fourth one, I was like, what do you do now? Like you really kind of just, you put it to bed in the most perfect possible way. And on top of that, name me off the top of your head how many fourth films in a series don't have just this precipitous, like, drop in quality. Like, most of the time, by the time you're to the fourth film.
Star Trek 4.
Okay. I'm going to say that's probably more of an exception than a rule. But normally you're doing like straight to DVD at that point or something. Like, there's just not a lot of things that can make it to four and you not be like, oh.
I wish they'd quit doing that one. So.
It's amazing.
So what I have read is, yes, it did great, but below box office expectations. It's made only $118 million.
I really think it's funny that, like, we live in a world, especially in, like, Disney, like, especially they're like, but Incredibles 2 did $180 million, and Finding Dory did $132
million. And that wasn't a very good movie.
There's not a world that I really don't think this movie has legs. Like, I understand it's a crowded summer market, but like Pixar, besides maybe The Good Dinosaur, even most of their bad ones, I'm talking about you, Cars 2, like still did very reasonable
talking about
business.
You, Planes.
Well, Planes was initially a straight to DVD movie that they were just like, wait a minute, we can milk this puppy a little bit more. Like, there's a reason why that one didn't make as... I think people were just like, wait, that's not really a Pixar movie. And man, was it not.
Yeah. So, the story, without giving anything away, the story of Toy Story 4 is it takes place 24 years after Toy Story 3.
No.
Well, then I read something that told me that, and no, it was wrong.
24 years after Toy Story 1. Like,
all
of the Toy Stories have up to 3, they were basically happening in real time.
Right.
With the fourth film, it takes place, I don't know, I don't remember it specifying necessarily right on, but it's very near to the end of Toy Story 3. It's not like a Back to the Future 2 situation where it literally picks up mm-hmm. where the last one, but it's like within a year, maybe a couple of years, like... within that, the little girl that you saw at the end of the third one is still a little girl. She is going into kindergarten.
And she makes a fork spork type of toy?
She is having a very difficult day, her first day of kindergarten. And like all the rest of the kids took like all of the crafts that they were going to work with. And she's just kind of sitting there crying. Woody, being the... just the altruist that he always is, snuck into her backpack, despite the fact that Woody is no longer the favorite toy. Like mm-hmm. in all of the other three movies, he's basically Captain America. Like mm-hmm. he's in charge of the room. He's in charge of the other toys. Like he's heroic. She's not really into the cowboy. Like Woody gets left in the closet a lot. Like this is very much something that like as viewers of the series and, I mean, as Woody's character, he's not used to not being in the spotlight. And there are times like he even starts trying to jump in and he'd be like, no, guys, listen, we can do this. And the toy that actually does kind of run her toy room is like, Woody, I've I've got it. Sit down. Said, okay, I don't need this. But Woody has basically said, okay, she does need help. Like, I remember when Andy went through this, like, he had a really tough time, and they're just like, this isn't Andy. You just sit down, Woody, okay? You're not in charge. Like, he's basically kind of went into, like, kind of a maybe a retirement. I don't know exactly the proper word for it, but it's...
They're trying to bench him, and yeah, he's not up for
and
it.
And Woody's just, he is so used to being the one at the forefront of it. So against the wishes of virtually all the other toys, Woody goes with her to her first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the kids take all this away, Woody gets into the trash can and finds kind of an amalgamation of stuff that could be used as crafts and gets it to her. She uses this to kind of put it together, and the character Forky, played by the name of the actor's lead, he's Arrested Development.
Jason Bateman.
No, not Jason Bateman. The
David
son.
David Cross. Oh.
The
him.
Bald one. What is his name? But he's the voice.
Yes.
He is the voice of the character. And
not Job. Liza Minnelli. That guy.
Yes. That's the one.
That guy.
He is,
he's so good.
Oh, he's.
We just can't remember his name. I can see him.
This film very much. Three was very much a definitive. Could have been a definitive end. This one also feels like it could be the end of the. Like, if there's no Toy Story 5. It ended in a place that you're like, okay, this is a satisfying conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I really want some more Forky. Like, Forky is when he is created, like all of the rest of them, like Buzz had that weird adjustment period because he didn't realize he was a toy. Forky, because he is made of trash, believes that he is trash.
Oh.
And is basically like every time he pulls him out and like they try to explain to him, like Bonnie even writes on his feet, or it's a broken popsicle stick, mm-hmm. but she writes her name on it. And Woody's like, okay, you're a toy. And he's like, I'm trash. And then he'll just jump. It plays like he's trying to commit suicide. Every time Woody gets out of it, like he tries to run back in there and he's like, I'm trash. I'm trash. I'm trash. So, like, every time Woody will throw him out, like, you'll see him jump right back into the trash can. Like, he doesn't understand this concept of – he doesn't understand what a toy is. Like, he's – through most of the film, like, he's only, like, a day or so old. So, like, he doesn't understand anything. And it's played to a lot of, like, comic effect. But Woody, because he needs a purpose,
mm-hmm.
Has decided that he is going to – kind of keep up with him because, like I said, he's only 3 days old. He knows nothing.
Right.
And he keeps trying to throw himself away. And Woody, understanding what this means to his little girl at this point, wants to make sure that he is that he's kept up with. Well, Woody kind of slips up for like half a second, and he decides to jump out of the RV that mm-hmm. they're in. They're taking like a vacation.
All I ever wanted.
And Woody is, you know, very distraught over this, jumps out the window at him, realizes he's like, okay, where are you guys going to be? What's the GPS say? Okay, I'll meet you guys there before you leave. And then you kind of, that's basically like the setup for it. And then you really kind of get into the adventure of it.
So it's a buddy picture.
Yes. And not the one, like normally, Woody and Buzz are the ones that are paired together.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are in the film. I would say if the first three movies are Woody and Buzz's movies, this is almost Woody's movie. Like the rest of them are still there. It's not a solo movie, but like Woody is given a tremendous amount of like the character arc. He's getting given a ton of screen time. And oddly enough, and I feel weird for saying this, he's also given like a love interest that actually has kind of a certain degree of like pathos. Like you actually kind of it's a believable romantic relationship in the, and I understand how stupid what I'm saying sounds, but like Bo Peep,
Annie Potts,
who we did not
Tony
see.
Tony Hale is the other guy.
There we go.
Tony
okay.
Hale.
Who we did not see in Toy Story 3. We are given the explanation. You're given like a little bit of a prologue showing why Bo Peep was not in that. RC is being like, he was left outside and he's being kind of drug out by rainwater. So there's this kind of like little interesting rescue op that's set mm-hmm. up. And while Woody is doing this, and they save RC, I'm guessing it was probably like new parents or whatever. They're over talking to Andy's mom. And she's like, oh, well, she doesn't play with them anymore. You can have this stuff. And Bo Peep is one of the toys that is gifted to another little girl. Woody, like, realizing that, like, Bo has been taken from him because it's – and I know this is – again, it's weird. It's alluded to that they're romantically involved.
Yes.
In, I believe, Toy Story 2. Comes out there –
I picked up on it on Toy Story 1.
He comes out there and for a moment toys with leaving Andy and the rest of the toys and just going with Bo Peep wherever it is she's going. But at the last minute, like Woody is always very put upon by like his purpose. And he's mm-hmm. like, I can't leave them. So the two of them have this kind of bittersweet separation the very beginning. And like I said, I know this is weird for a animated movie about plastic toys, but like you kind of feel it, and like you understand that like he put his duty above like what he wanted to do. And again, I know I'd mentioned Captain America again, but in the same way that like instead of like coming back and being with Peggy in First Avenger, he ditches the plane so that we don't have a nuclear explosion mm-hmm. in the United States. Woody gives up this person he cares about because he's like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my kid. It's kind of hanging all over the movie. Whenever they get to this carnival that they're staying at overnight, Woody runs back in to Bo.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the girl kind of discarded her, the one that they gave her to. She just didn't like her. And Bo ended up in this antique shop for several years. Bo became a lost toy.
Aww.
And she has this very like bitter, angry attitude to having kids now. She's like, I run free. Like whenever kids come to this this carnival, like we're at this RV park, they play with us like in this sandbox. Like I fix people up. Like I don't need that. Like that's not me anymore. Like I help these other toys. I'm glad that you're, you know, I'm glad to see you. But you know, that's I think you're kind of foolish for doing it again.
Now, what has confused me about the Toy Story 4 storyline is how does John Wick figure into it?
He is a toy. Like they don't specify the year, but it feels very 1970s, early 80s. He is a Daredevil toy, influenced heavily by Evel Knievel and Super Dave.
Mm-hmm.
This toy.
So he's not actually playing John Wick.
No. No, but he sounds remarkably like him
for
reasons unbeknownst to me.
I see.
But he is constantly just wanting to pose. Like and it's very delightful. Basically the kid, whenever he got him, he had seen all this stuff that Kaboom could do in the commercials, and he's like, "Oh, yes." And he sets him up and he starts playing with him, and the toy can't do everything that it's kind of alluded to that they can do. And like they were being very hyperbolic in the commercial. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, he can jump this far. And like, as it turns out, he can only jump, you know, 2 feet. And I mean, at the end of the day, he's a toy. He's not remote controlled. Like, so the kid after he's played with once discards him, throws him away. Like he's done with him. So like this character has this like rejection mm-hmm. that just hangs. And like it affects like, he doubts himself in whatever he does. Like he has this macho bravado, but deep down inside him, like he's just waiting for somebody else to reject him after one try. Like again, like they're really kind of these layered portrayals for what's, I mean, it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like
the Toy Story ones, there's something special about them.
There is, and I'm saying they didn't like the relationship between Bo and Woody. Honestly, you could have done the entire movie about that. That's how rich and layered that is. It's only one aspect of it.
Like, now, was Rickles able to record his stuff before he passed?
They are either using, maybe deleted takes. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'm sure they've got mountains of audio from the first three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was – I haven't read up on it. So I don't know that it isn't him, or if it isn't just him, but using a previous recording, like mm-hmm. Slinky Dog is in it, and it sounds just like Jim Varney. I don't know. They obviously, Jim Varney passed nearly, I think, 19 years ago, mm-hmm. 19, 20 years ago. So he did not record his stuff for this, and he certainly didn't do it before his passing. But they could have used some alternate takes, or
right.
There's a mountain of Jim Varney audio out there that they could have placed in here, or it's somebody that just does a really good Jim Varney.
Mm-hmm. So the family, how were they affected? You took everyone?
Yes. Yeah, this was all eight of us.
And?
The kids are, they grew up on these movies in as much as, like, they weren't born in 1995, but this was very much part of their childhood. I don't think they even got as emotionally involved in this movie as I did, but Toy Story is something that gets plenty of rounds in our household. Mm-hmm. Like,
you can't go wrong with Toy Story.
Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, like, sometimes they're just like, no, we've seen that. No, we've seen that. No, we've seen that. Like, generally, if I will pop in, like, a Pixar movie, nobody complains when I go grab Toy Story 2 or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But, like, yeah, the quality is very much there. The new characters are,
But the kids, the alleged demo,
They were in on it, yeah. Like,
didn't have all the feels the adults would have.
In the same way that, like, I think I've mentioned before, like, Ghostbusters as a kid, when I saw that, it was all about, like, busting the ghosts, and they had proton packs. Like, I was fascinated by this aspect. But as I got older, I realized there's a lot of comedy that I didn't – there's a whole nother movie that you don't perceive as mm-hmm. a child. And I think because Woody's arc in this is almost given, like – it's almost like a metaphor for being a parent. Like, he's not appreciated always for, like, at the beginning, like, especially like at the beginning of your child's life, like, you are their world. Like, you're everything. You're awesome. Everything to them. You're fantastic. Like, you're virtually a superhero. When you get towards the end of it, or I mean, even into the teenage years, like, you're not appreciated. Sometimes ever. You are doing the right thing. You're doing what you're supposed to, but no one is giving you a lick of respect. You're not getting a pat on the back, even though you know this is what you need to do. And, like, that's what Woody is doing this entire movie. And, like, I'll tell you, like, when that kind of stuff starts hitting me, like, I'm not saying I cried, but, like, there was some dust in my eye during this movie, or somebody in the theater must have been cutting onions for the hot dogs. I don't know. But I'm saying, like, it got a little moist, like... In the visual area.
Well, just Toy Story 3, and my kids aren't college age, but it's like I can see college from here.
Oh, they love to give you an emotional uppercut, like mm-hmm. in these movies. And like I said, Woody's is very much that's the way I perceived it. And like I'm not going to ruin the ending because there's this very like there's a bit of finality to it. I mean, not that I guess 3 wasn't, but like. It ends on a very bittersweet, but I dare call it a perfect note to end these movies on. Like, if they get another idea, by all means. Like, evidently, the same way that when I heard, like, James Cameron was doing a movie for, like, $315 million or whatever Avatar cost. And I'm just like, one day, this thing, the bank is not going to cash those checks. That's crazy. What are you talking about? This crazy blue cat movie? All right, then it makes $2.7 billion. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to shut up. Anything James Cameron wants to shoot, he needs to shoot. Obviously, he has touched in to like the whatever into the mind.
I didn't think it was all that.
Well, that's another discussion for another podcast.
It's a perfectly fine movie.
But eventually, like, you don't bet against James Cameron.
Yes.
And in the same way, like, especially where Toy Story is involved, don't bet against Pixar.
Or those characters.
I can't imagine.
Well written.
I can't imagine that you get a fifth film that doesn't have some kind of drop in quality, but I also didn't think they could do it for the fourth film.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are.
All right. So it is... certainly worth seeing. You going to go back
yeah.
and see it again?
I will. I would say if I can talk the kids into it, if we can find not because of the lack of quality, but taking eight people to the movies.
Well, I just meant you.
It's not. Oh, I will. I mean, this is one. Like, it'll be pre-ordered. Like, we'll have it like day of. I will probably touch on this one again just because I will also say, like, we had recently kind of revisited the three original films, and we had even watched the 4K of the original. And it is amazing in 25 years. Like, and I don't want to say that it looks pedestrian or prehistoric, but like the first Toy Story was made in 1995. It's the first film, the first feature length film to ever be done with computer generated graphics, which are now the norm. Mm-hmm. At that point, like, everybody at Disney's like, sure, go ahead and test your little fad. Mm-hmm. thing. That's crazy. Computer generated images. Okay.
Floppy drive.
But like I mean, the movie itself still holds up. The look of it has aged a little bit. It still looks very nice, but like when you see four up on the big screen, like projected, put up in its surround, I don't know what visual resolution they're running at, but like the movie just it looks, the colors just like pop. It is a visual feast. Mm. Every single one of these movies has been but I'm just saying, like, with the benefit of being nearly 24. I think it's 24 years. You can see like how much Pixar has like just kept putting money back into the movie, in addition to being just like a fantastic story, a multi-layered portrayal. It's also just gorgeous to look at. Mm-hmm. Like, just lush colors, beautiful sound, and you've got a performance by Tom Hanks. Like, if you can find something not to like about this movie, like, I don't understand you. You're like, you're what's wrong. Like, with whatever you're talking about. Yeah.
So, you're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens. Movie reviews. Definitely worth seeing in the theater.
Oh, yeah. If you have kids, like, I mean, I'm probably preaching to the choir. If you have kids, like, even the bad Pixar movies, mm-hmm. are not, like, Good Dinosaur, which I think I mentioned earlier. It's not a bad movie, but it's not as good as, say, Monsters, Inc. or Toy Story 2. Mm-hmm. Or even their bad ones hold up excessively well.
Well, we have not seen it yet because there hasn't been a time when the four of us could go together. And I know this is not one of the ones where Jim is going to go, I don't really want to see it. This is a four, see it together.
It's I want to say the Rotten Tomatoes score is somewhere around 98, mm-hmm. something like that. Like, it's just, I have not seen a review. I haven't heard anybody that's just like, yeah, but, you know. Like I said, I don't think you can to this movie. Like, if you can't, like, you are so cynical and dead inside that, like, you need this movie more than anybody else. Like, you are the Grinch, and you need to discover your Christmas, and it is Toy Story 4.
So, would you venture to say that this movie is going to be the biggest animated film of the year?
Right now, it's up against, let's see. Are we considering the Lion King remake? Is that animated, or is it technically live action?
Did they train the lions to hold up the baby?
I'm just like, I don't. Was the Jungle Book live action, or what does it fall? I think the Lion King's going to be huge. Like, it's going to be huge, huge. They're bringing the guy that, like, Jon Favreau, who jump started the Marvel Universe. Did the very underrated sequel.
Imagine the money that he
first sequel to Jumanji. He is the producer and director of The Mandalorian.
Which is money.
Which is the first Star Wars television show, live-action television show ever going to premiere. I'm just saying, like, they got him. Like, he is basically Disney royalty at this mm-hmm. point. Jump-started the live-action remake of animated, whatever you want to call that. Like, he did the Jungle Book. I'm just saying, when Disney wants something done and they want it done proper and they want it to make buckets of money, Jon Favreau is the one they go to. And he is money, as you stated. And as he stated in Swingers. Yeah.
Yeah, we got his digits. Still, you know, this is old and you'll have to search for it. And you have to have seen Sling Blade and Swingers. But there is a film.
Both films in and of themselves that are definitely yes. worth watching.
There's a film where the character, he is one of the swingers, and it's called Swing Blade. And it's like a 5-minute thing.
Honest to goodness, even without having the pun itself, would have sold me on just being like, okay, you got five. You got 5 minutes. Like,
there's a scene where he's trying to leave a message on the answering machine, but he can't get it out before the beep. It's truly hilarious. And I probably haven't seen that for like 10 years or so.
I cannot think of even Iron Man 2, which was not as good as the first. Like, the first Iron Man is just, there's no fat on that. There's nothing to trim off of it. Mm-hmm. It plays wonderful. Like I said, there's nothing I want to take out of it. The second one, there's some stuff I could lose. I don't know that I've ever seen a movie that he has directed that I've just been like, this is hot garbage. This is nonsense. Like, he did Chef, I think, right after
Iron Man 2. That's a really good movie. Iron Man
2. Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, like, I cannot think of anything in his filmography, like, that involves him, like, directing and, like, sometimes writing, that I'm just like, this is worthless. This has no value to anybody. And the fact that Disney, like, The Lion King, for those of you not, like, alive during that movie was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just kept setting, like, records. And I'm sure if you adjust that thing for inflation, like, you're talking about, like, 800, 900 million, like, domestically. The fact that, like I said, they've got their golden boy, like they've got like their stallion on this, and it's that property. It's just a perfect confluence of events. Like, even if it doesn't, you know, like unseat, let's say, Endgame at the box office, I can't imagine like Disney is not just sitting there like counting money like they're in a casino, just, oh, where does this thing stuck? Can you get a machine to count? I can't count this. There's so much of it.
Okay, so nothing really came out against Toy Story 4 except for Child's Play, which was not the same audience.
It is of note to say Mark Hamill is the voice of Chucky this mm-hmm. time around. Not getting as positive of reviews. I have not got to watch this yet. But the fact that they have Luke Skywalker and the Joker himself as the voice of Chucky at least warrants me wanting to kind of like take a peek at this.
And I do appreciate the humor that the movie to go up against Toy Story 4 does involve a doll.
Have you seen the posters like that they've done for it? Basically, it's Chucky killing toys.
Oh.
And they for obvious reasons, like, they can't get Woody's likeness, but it's heavily alluded to in a lot of those instances.
That's
that he's
funny.
Murdering, like, Disney characters or beloved toys, or, like, I think one of them, I think, is, like, a Cabbage Patch. It's a very amusing, set of, like, advertisements.
And Chucky, those stories have been around a long time, the stories, the movies. Please refresh my memory. Chucky is a ventriloquist doll that's possessed.
I think he's a bit closer to like a My Buddy doll.
Okay.
And he is possessed by the spirit of a serial killer. I think in the original, the voice is Brad Dourif, I believe.
Okay.
If I remember. Like, played very well in that. Like, the first, I want to say, 3 movies, like, Chucky is this very, like, precise, like, killer, but again, trapped in the body of...
And did they ever explain how that happens?
I don't know, lightning or elven okay. magic or...
It's just a thing.
Something.
All right.
You know, say the Zoltar machine.
But it's not from
whatever.
A comic book.
There's some MacGuffin that they're just like, and this, and it caused... Same, liar, liar. The kid wished. I don't remember what it was, but, like... It's something, and like, if that's what hangs you up on this movie, you don't need to watch that movie or any of those movies.
So next week, we are on Countdown to Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's July 2nd, mm-hmm. I believe.
So does that mean we're going to have a preview Wednesday, maybe?
Well, here, you bring up Spider-Man to say this, and we've mentioned Avatar and Endgame in this. Endgame is also being re-released. I believe it's this weekend with additional footage.
Totally want to see it.
I don't know what that no place has told me what that footage is, but I'm telling you, if you want to get people into theaters and you want to potentially push it past Avatar, which at this point Disney owns too, so like they don't lose.
Yeah, who cares?
If they don't push it past number one, they're just like, oh, wow, we only made $2.76 billion. Mm-hmm. What do we do? If you want to get people back into theaters, because like I mean, people were seeing this thing in droves. The Fox deal is done at this point. Disney owns the Fantastic Four, the X-Men. I think Submariner as well. Like they have almost all of the toys back in the toy box. If you do a post-credit scene, which that was not included the mm-hmm. first time around, I think you just had like the signatures, like
right.
via Star Trek VI, like kind of saying
no one stayed for the end of that, Adam.
Listen, someone did. Someone did, Jay. Someone stayed at the end of Star Trek VI too.
That's a good movie.
I'm saying if you. Even if you allude to the fact that like the X-Men or the Fantastic Four, like somehow the snap created mutants, or like the snap opened up a dimensional rift and that's what created the Fantastic Four, and now Reed Richards is in this Earth, because Mysterio is purported to be from a different Earth in the previews to Spider-Man Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, I think that's what the thrust of this, like if the Infinity Stones are what represented those first 10 years, I think the multiverse is where you start bringing that. You've got S.H.I.E.L.D., which just defended Earth. You've got S.W.O.R.D., and what was the – there's another one. It's an organization similar to S.H.I.E.L.D., but they kind of deal with the multiverse.
I'm stuck on an image of Thanos snapping, but he's actually Michael Jackson.
He did just have the one glove.
You know, doing – exactly.
But like I said, I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if it's just stuff they already shot. But like if I got word that that's what is I've already seen, and you don't have to lure me further to get me to go watch Endgame again, because I've already done it. I've already done it several times, and that movie is 3 hours. I just find myself finding a reason to go back mm-hmm. and watch it again, because I don't want it to leave theaters, and I'm just like, this is so wonderful. If you do that, and like I said, it's a X-Men belt buckle or like anything. I don't know if it pushes it past it, but I'm telling you, you want to get people back into theaters to watch Endgame again in a decent like chunk. I think that's how you do it. Like,
would it not be wise to add a little more Spidey time?
That's why I'm saying, like, I think it probably will book in or like kind of dovetail into Spider-Man, because that only makes sense, especially considering we're what, 2 weekends, like this weekend and then the next is Spider-Man. Like, go ahead, get him back in there, make a couple more shekels off Endgame, and then get them to go see Spider-Man and have even more money mm-hmm. in the pirate's chest or whatever. I don't know how they keep their money. Maybe it's digital. Maybe it's in a bank.
Hole in the ground. Okay, well, we have lots more movies to talk about in the coming weeks, because it's summer movie time. I like that.
True story.
It is a true story. I have so many I want to see, and yet work gets in the way.
I will say this, and then I'll stop, because if they are opening the multiverse – and Sony does want another Spider-Man movie, and if we're confirming that multiverses do exist, how perfect would Spider-Man 3 be if it had 3 Spider-Mans, and the other 2 are played by Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire?
Ooh.
I'm just saying, like, they just did an animated movie about there being a Spider-Verse.
That would be great.
That just won Best Animated Picture. Can you think of a better reason to go watch Spider-Man 3 then have not one, not two, but 3 Spider-Mans? What's Tobey Maguire doing?
You know?
Nothing. That's
yeah,
what he's
pretty
doing.
Pretty much. I think it's a great idea. All right. So, Toy Story 4, it is excellente. Go and see it. And thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.